everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new review. Remember, new episodes go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, but I'm putting up extra reviews always throughout the week, so the best way to stay on top of things is to get subscribed to my Linktree. If you go to linktr.ee/tscarymovie, that's going to get you access to my YouTube page for the video versions of the show, to your favorite podcasting platforms for the audio only versions of the show, to the TikTok page for my short horror videos, and to my Letterboxd for my written reviews and movie rankings for the year. So get subscribed so you can stay up to date and get alerts for when new stuff is coming out. So what are we talking about tonight? Well, last night I got a chance to catch the opening day screening of Imaginary, the new film from Blumhouse Productions, and folks, we are going to jump right on into it here. Now, I do have to apologize right off the jump, because the sad thing about Imaginary is that I remember that I saw like the teaser trailer and maybe a second or two of like the regular trailer when it came out, but I had very much passed this movie off. Like, I knew I was going to end up seeing it, but it wasn't one that was on like my highly anticipated list. And a lot of that was because we have so much good stuff coming out here in March that I think it was a little bit easy for me to overlook this film. But overlook this film, I most definitely did, because y'all, Imaginary might be the dark horse for like the sleeper hit of the year. And I know, we literally just got Lisa Frankenstein, you know, a few weeks ago, and there's so much great stuff that's going to be coming out the rest of this year. It's only March. It's literally the beginning of March, but I still feel Imaginary is going to end up being that sleeper for a lot of people. The story itself is actually, it's simple, but it's also, like, very intricate at the same time, to where the lead character, Jess, played by DaWanda Wise, has moved back into her childhood home with her new husband and his two stepdaughters. And as the younger stepdaughter finds Jess's old teddy bear in the home, all these kind of creepy and scary things begin to happen around the house. And we begin to think that there's an otherworldly presence that's haunting Jess and her new family. And, you know, at first, it seems like it's going to be a very much run-of-the-mill, like, not a fish out of water, but we've seen those stories before, to where, like, a new member of the family is, like, getting, like, inoculated to it, like, new mom, new dad, and how there's the uncomfortableness. The kids obviously don't like them that much. Are they going to end up, like, falling in love? You know, all that kind of stuff. And there is a lot of that at play here, but it ends up being a lot deeper than that when it comes to the actual family drama. I feel that there were so many callbacks that were set up in this movie for everything that happens, whether it pertains to the story revolving Jess and her own troubled childhood, which plays a big, big role in this film, and how now we're kind of seeing some of that appear again with her young stepdaughter, Alice. I feel that everything that gets set up, whether it's at the very beginning of the film or later on in it, ends up coming back around to it. I think that's fantastic filmmaking, because in a lot of movies, you know, you expect to get the callbacks from things that are set up earlier on, and sometimes you don't get 100% of that. Like, not everything gets followed back up on. But Imaginary seemingly sets up like all these numerous plot threads throughout the film, and they follow up with every single one of those. It was a very, very satisfying film from start to finish, because of the fact that they didn't leave any loose threads in the film at all. Now, from the supernatural aspect, I had recently just watched a film called Hide and Seek, which kind of like the same setup for it. You know, mom dies, dad and daughter move to an isolated location, daughter starts playing with an imaginary friend, and people start dying. And here with Imaginary, it's not as extreme as that, but there's still like this sinister presence that's going on, to where this family moves to a new home and the young daughter makes this new imaginary friend, and people aren't dying, so to speak, but a lot of very, like, very negative stuff has happened around the house and around the neighborhood, and more people seem to know about it than what this family, themselves even knows about what's happening in their own home. I think the design of the creature, the bear, you know, is amazing. Like, it is completely terrifying. And the fact that they choose to shoot it in such a way that we don't get to see it, like, 100%, like, bathed in light. Like, there's a lot of just very, very dark shots of it. I think it's such a smart idea to go with as well, too, because we can make out the features. We can make out how terrifying this, like, bear really, really looks. And I think it's a good idea that we don't just show it 100% like lit up coming after the characters. Like, there's a lot of really close shots to it, but it doesn't go right to that. And Imaginary very much balances those horrific elements along with the family drama really, really well, to the point to where the film seemed very much like a companion piece to last year's Cobweb, which I had said is super fairy tale like there's very much an aura as if we're reading an adaptation of like a fairy tale for children that just happens to be scary as shit. And Imaginary does the same thing. Like, it's interesting because the fact that it deals so well with childhood trauma and how those things can be passed on, and how and even again with the family drama about how somebody needs to like fit in with this new family, and how, you know, they're watching their own like words that they're saying and their actions because they don't want to hurt somebody else in it. Like, the film does a great job of the world building that it does, that it has set up in it. And again, it seems like if you were to watch this back to back with Cobweb, you'd have a perfect double feature for it. And I love the behind the scenes team. You know, Jeff Wadlow, who wrote, who co-wrote and directed this film, did Kick-Ass 2, did the Curse of Bridge Hollow. He did a few episodes like The Strain and Are You Afraid of the Dark. A big, big fan of this guy's work. And his co-writers, Greg Erb and Jason Orenlam, they also have experience writing, popular kid stuff, because Greg Erb wrote Rocket Man, not Elton John one. You know the one I'm talking about, with Harlan Williams from back in the late 90s. Absolutely love that movie. But him and Jason Orenlam also co-wrote The Princess and the Frog. So they have the experience needed to actually tell a story that works for both kids and for adults. And that's the best compliment I can give for this film, honestly, is that it really, really feels like somebody made a horror movie for kids and gave it a bit of an edge to it. It works really, really well. And granted, it's more like, you know, when you're a kid and you're watching all the R-rated movies from back in the 80s, it's not to that extreme or anything, but I was honestly surprised that for a PG-13 movie, it felt really like it felt like really like a hard R in a lot of places. And I love that because Blumhouse Productions put out a lot of films throughout the year, and a lot of times they can be very hit or miss. You know, we got Night Swim just a couple of months ago. This is not Night Swim, y'all. The cast is fantastic. There are actually a few scares in it. There's a great family drama. This is a really, really good movie, and I think it's going to end up, like I said, on a lot of people's best of lists by the time that the year is done. March is already shaping up to be a great month here in horror. Go and check this out. This film is very, very, very much reminiscent of other films like Lights Out and Megan, Hide and Seek, like I mentioned. You know, there's a lot of films you're going to get similarities from, but it's unique enough in a way to where the story stands out for itself. So go check out Imaginary. Let me know in the chat what you think about it once you've seen it. And folks, make sure you're hitting that subscribe button so you can catch all the great new reviews I got coming out. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared. Hey, everybody. Looking for a great way to stay up to date on horror news, as well as read the best of articles on anything scary out in the world right now? Then you need to head over to the Fangoria shop and get yourself a subscription. If you go to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW, you can use my own personalized 20% discount to save 20% off on Fangoria magazine subscriptions, as well as 20% off any other items in their fantastic shop. This is a great deal. If you've ever been wanting to get yourself a subscription, now is the time to do so. Head to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW.